come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
This is Flick Flops, Cult Classics. Before we get started, please hit the like button and subscribe if you enjoy these reviews and would like to see more. We would greatly appreciate it, and it would help our little channel grow. This week, we're strapping on our leather vests and heading to the mean streets of 1979's New York with the Warriors, directed by Walter Hill. In this cult classic, a street gang fights their way through hostile territory to clear their name after being framed for murder. We follow their perilous journey back to Coney Island. We ask, does the Warrior still stand strong, or has it lost its fight? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? That is
cool. Let me give you a little background about this. So the Warriors
do it.
It's American action thriller film directed by Walter Hill, based on Soar Urich's 1965 novel of the same name, which I know we're going to come to at some point because I know that you just recently read that book. The story is set in a slightly dystopian New York City and follows a street gang named the Warriors who must navigate their way across the city after they're wrongly accused of killing a highly respected gang leader during a citywide gang summit. It centers around their struggle to return home to their Coney Island, navigating through the territories of various rival gangs, and released on February 9th, 1979. It's become a cult classic and known for its unique style, quotable lines, and depiction of gang culture. Let's talk about the Warriors.
Man, this is a staple in my house growing up. I'll give you some quick numbers so we can move on to the discussion of this film, because this could be a long one, although we probably have to do some editing. Rotten Tomatoes has this at 88 with the critics and 88 with the audience.
Wow.
And I agree with one of them. The budget was $4 million at the time. The box office at the time, $22.5 million. Written by three people. Walter Hill, of course, was involved in the writing of this. David Schaber. And, of course, Saul Urich was involved in the writing. He wrote the novel, but he was involved. Not a whole lot that I know of, but he was involved in it. David Schaber, we would know for Nighthawks, Gary.
Okay.
Wrote that, or Flight of the Intruder, which I couldn't recall that film, but it feels like something you probably would have watched. I think I'm confused with maybe a different film.
I'm thinking of Flight of the Navigator.
So that could be where I was confusing it. But anyway, and of course, Saul has no other screenwriting credits except for The Warriors. He wrote the novel that the book, that the movie's based on. And of course, director Walter Hill, he was involved in the screenwriting also. But Walter Hill, Gary, as a director, know him for 48 Hours, Streets of Fire, Brewster's Millions, Crossroads. He's got a long list, but I picked the few that you and I would specifically.
I put a note of Crossroads on here for sure.
Crossroads, I didn't realize. And of course, I loved Brewster's Millions. I know it's a cheesy little comedy, but I it's a film that comes on. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch that again. Yeah. But he was also a producer and writer in the Alien films, Walter Hill was. So this guy's, he's got a nice creative pedigree.
Yeah.
Of course the Warriors, which was, I mean, I think it's one of the best things he's ever done, but that's personal opinion.
Yeah. By the way, Flight of the Intruder, I see that, and it starred Danny Glover, William Dafoe, Brad Johnson, Roseanne Arquette, Tom Sizemore. I see in the poster, I do remember the movie as far as, like, I know I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly,
don't remember.
I don't recall the movie that much, though. I don't really, I can't really piece anything together on that one, but
I'm sure one of our dedicated followers will jump in and give us a breakdown of how great that film is.
Probably.
And maybe we'll do it eventually. You anything you want to add to that? Or you want to jump into this thing good or possibly if there's anything bad to talk about?
Let's go ahead and let's talk about the good.
This kind of, if you go down all the boxes that on our worksheet that we use, Gary, storyline and plot, I really enjoyed the storyline and the plot to this film. And again, I just literally finished the book before we started filming tonight. There are differences.
Yeah.
And typically the book is always better than the film. This is an instance where it is not. The film is better. Again, now we know the film way more than we know the book. But I say this also about another, and this is just a sidebar. You know my absolute adoration for the movie, the TV show MASH. The book and the original movie to me don't play well. The book doesn't read well. Like, I read the book and I'm like, how did anybody read this book and think I want to make this into A, a movie, and B, a TV series that would become one of the most beloved TV series of all time? Yeah. I would have never seen it.
Yeah.
Having just finished the book of the Warriors, which I did not know it was even based on a book until we started talking about doing this film. I don't know how you read this book and quit. You know what? I got an idea. Because it's different enough. Now, it's not wildly different, but it's different enough. And we can get into that in a minute here when you break down the two. Character development, I don't know that there's anything great development-wise, but the acting on this was really good. I don't know if it's great, but it was really good. And I bought a lot of it. It really did. Direction, of course, Walter, I think, did a fantastic job with this film because it was gritty. I felt like I needed a shower when this film was over. So, you know, when they're running like in through some of the areas and they're sweaty, I could feel like, I'm buying this. I'm feeling everything you're putting into this film. And I think he just did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
The production design. I mean, look, this was shot in New York City. I think only two scenes were shot in a soundstage. The rest of this was actually like what I'd read, the bathroom fight scene in the subway. That was a movie set. I'm drawing a blank now on the other one that was actually a set. Editing. So one of the things I loved about this film, and I didn't realize until I read the book, is the comic book aspect of it. That plays in the book, and I think that's a nod to the book. One of the characters in the book is always reading a comic book. So to me, I was like, that's his nod to that character and that way of storytelling. Because in the book, he does a lot of comparisons to when he's about to build a scene up, the young kid who's reading the comic book is talking about a scene or something in the comic book, and it leads to the scene you're about to see. So I think that was a very well done. And of course, as you and I are comic book fans, I love the slides of the panels and all that, the transitions. I mean, listen, our little editing software, I wish they had one. I would use that like a madman. Sound and music. Gary, listen, one of my favorite songs, I shouldn't say a favorite, but a song that I love, Joe Walsh, In the City.
With my back against the wall. Yep.
On, man, you can't talk about this film without talking about the DJ narration through the film.
Yeah.
And you know, originally that was supposed to be Orson Welles.
Oh, really?
This champagne doesn't come from France, but it was created by a man who did, Paul Masson. Paul Masson will sell no wine before it's time.
They wanted Orson Welles to do it as someone reading a Greek tragedy. That was the original thought process for that. I don't think that would have played well. But in the book, that's kind of what they're doing. This book is based on, I can't think of the name of it.
Anabasis is an ancient Greek story written by Xenophon, detailing the journey of Greek mercenaries through inhospitable lands. The Anabasis begins with Cyrus gathering his army to overthrow his brother, King Artaxerxes II, in 401 BC. The Greek mercenaries, led by Cyrus and joined by Xenophon, find themselves in the heart of enemy territory after Cyrus is killed in battle. Stranded deep within the Persian Empire, they are forced to fight their way out and make the grueling journey back home to Greece.
Anyway, it's read that way in the comic book that the kid is reading is telling the Greek story that then ties into the actual modern day version of it. It's deeper than just a bunch of gangs with baseball bats and shit. Themes and messages, I don't have anything there. Originality, I thought this was a wildly original film. I mean, there's still been nothing like this. I think this is almost like other films that had a bigger impact later on with VHS and whatnot than it had when it was released.
Hey, we can't talk about this movie without discussing the fact that this is another on TV film.
TV, subscription television, Chicago.
That was in super rotation.
So I was going to ask you, was it on TV when we saw this? It had to be, right?
Oh, yeah. It was always on. And I can even almost remember, didn't we get like a little guide or something that came with it? And I can remember the page with them standing on the subway. It was like one of the pictures that they showed for it. So I know I loved this movie as a kid. I don't think I've revisited it since seeing it about 20 times on TV. So trying to go through it and see it again this long ago, there was a few things that I could put in the bad column for this, but I mean, we're talking about good at the moment. It is clearly set in that time period.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you said, it's gritty. I thought the concept, everything about it, the storyline was really interesting. And I still found it interesting to this day. I still thought it was really cool. I remember when I was a kid. Now, to me, that must be what gang life is like in the city.
That's in the city.
I don't think it's an accurate portrayal of any of that. But as a kid, that's what I thought it was. And, you know, we don't want to go downtown because we don't want to get caught up in the face painted baseball bat.
Right. I mean, the baseball Furies are just right around the corner.
It could be right there. I don't, you know, don't want to get trapped on that on a
or
street.
Or the Turnbull ACs, Gary, or the
So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you say, I have to agree with. I can't really. I mean, and I forgot about the Joe Walsh song. As soon as the intro of that song started, I was like, oh, man.
It's such a great song.
I love the song. And I'd forgotten that even had anything to do with that. All your points, I agree with. I've got a couple nitpicky things that I'll put in the bad side when we talk about that. But
go for it. I have nothing bad to really go with. I mean, again, we can do the comparisons of the book.
All right, we'll switch to bad real quick. We'll just talk about a couple things and then do free form.
Yeah.
Discuss a little bit more of this. So I will say that I thought the acting was good. But there were a couple characters that I was I had a little bit of trouble with. And I think maybe it had to do with the time period that's probably more related to that than it being like bad acting or anything, but it's more of that whole, try to think of some moments to give you an idea, but just the way they would act.
Is it the whole orphans gang?
About girls. And so, that didn't really bother me that much, but
the hunting and fish and I.
There you go. That's good. I know that now. I didn't know it then. Like, I forgot about the comic book intro and the whole comic book sort of feel to it. It's real obvious going back on it now, looking at it now. But I thought the whole gangs with their different little, like, there were some of them that were in fedoras and different, and I was like, that's kind of silly.
That's in the book. A lot of that is in the book.
And I can see it from that comic book aspect, a blend of that kind of thing.
Yeah,
sure. But if you're taking this on as this is a gritty, realistic gang member thing going on, I'm like, they really be wearing those outfits, especially the mimes, whatever the mimes were called.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, whatever. That's just weird.
Yeah. And those gangs are not in the book. I mean, none of the gangs you see in the movie are in the book. Even in the book, the Warriors aren't called the Warriors.
Oh really?
No. I don't know how you got why you didn't just call them the Warriors. I don't know.
Yeah.
But none of the gangs. Hang on a second. I'll do it.
Do they actually have names in the book? Like the gangs? Or are they more?
Yeah. Let me. So I'm going to read these off. I'm going to interrupt you. So the group that would have been considered the Warriors, all right, are called the Coney Island Dominators. Again, why not just use the Warriors? It's so much cooler.
I almost feel like all of them should be on skates and this should be in a arena.
Right. So what I'm reading to you is they're going to give you the gang name and they give you a description of the gang. So the Coney Island Dominators, who are our main gang, the Warriors, they are noted as wearing blue paisley polo shirts, monkey jackets, tight black chino pants, ankle boots, and high crown, narrow brim straw hats with their Mercedes-Benz hood emblems attached to them. The Delancey Thrones is another gang. They're from the Bowery in Manhattan. They're a Latino gang that wears red t-shirts, white pants, and caps, is what it says. Colonial Lords, another gang from Coney Island and a rival to the Dominators. Morningside Sporting Serifs, the Morningside Heights, Manhattan. They are noted as wearing big, bulky hats leaned to the side. Hello.
Cheerio.
Day, sir.
That's a good day.
And I like that it's bulky hats.
Yeah.
Good fitting hats, like big, you know.
Maybe they're those styrofoam cowboy hats. They're just like
a chapeau. Bornequin Blazers. Bornequin, Gary, Q-U-E-N, Bornequin. The Castro Stompers, the Golden Janissaries, Jackson Street Maasai, and the Intervale Avenue Lesbos. Yeah, the Lesbos make it into the movie as the Lizzies. The next gang we mentioned, there's only three left. You have the Spahis?
Learn to read with Hooked on Phonics, the musical reading program.
Hooked on Phonics works for me.
Call 1-800-ABCDEFG.
They're briefly mentioned. I think these would be the Orphans, if I had to pick a gang. Then you have an unnamed Irish gang. And then finally, an unnamed African-American gang sporting pompadours, black headbands, black dress shoes, and raincoats. That might be the Riffs, if I had to guess. That's right.
Dude, I'm liking this even less now that you read all that.
I'm telling you, Gary, you know, you're a book reader. I think you would struggle with the book, and it's not horrible, but because we know the movie so well, the book pales. It just pales. And again, if you read this book, I don't know how you read this book and get this movie. I don't know how you got it. The idea of the movie is fantastic, in my opinion. There's not even the genesis of them struggling to get back, which is the biggest part of the movie, the fight and the way back.
Yeah.
It's some of that's in the book, but not like it is in the movie. They did a much better job.
Is that the plot of the book?
Yes. So they have the same thing. They have the big gang meetup in the book as they do in the movie.
Yeah.
It breaks into a fight and Eric gets off and they flee. And a lot of that is similar. The flee and the book is told in increments of time. So it says, July 4th, midnight to 12:45. That's how the chapter starts. And then it tells you what happens in that time frame. There's the graveyard scene that's in the movie is in the book. Not the same, but it's the same principle. The train that gets stopped and they have to jump off the train. They can't stay on it because the train there's a stoppage. That's in the book, but it's not the same thing. There's a fire in the movie. In the book, it's just there's a stoppage for some reason. In the movie where the one dude stops to pick up the girl in the park bench in the middle of nowhere and gets Remar. There's a scene very similar to that in the book. Although in the book, the woman gets the ever-loving shit beat out of her by the gang. Lots of slurs in the book. Uncomfortable slurs in the book. But I guess it's of the time, and I don't hold that against the people because that's the way
it's written. Yeah.
And it shouldn't be edited out. It's the way the book is.
Yeah.
And the book ending is wildly disappointing compared to the movie.
Well, we were kind of in the bad section and we kind of just went into free form.
I kind of took over with running the book down.
Which is fine. I don't have any problem with that. But I will say I was recalling a little bit, especially the cop at the park bench. There's the back and forth between Michael Beck's character, Swan. And
what?
The girl. What's the
Swan?
What's the girl? Yeah. What's the?
I'm Swan.
Yeah. What's
the, I mean,
what's
what?
The character. It doesn't matter.
Well, in the book, it's whore slut.
It kind of was in this too. I mean, that was kind of
it was implied.
The back and forth between those two, look, I liked.
It's uncomfortable.
It is.
I mean, not in a bad way. You don't buy it.
That's what it is. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know why you drug them right. And they did that in the book. They bring a character along, and I don't know why.
Yeah, a lot of that back and forth, I was kind of like. This is not realistic to me at all.
Who put up with her mouth? I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, there was a few parts like that though. There was the part that you're talking about with the Lizzies, and I'm like, how do you not see? Are you not seeing what I'm seeing? Like,
it reminded me of the Chasing Amy scene.
Oh yeah.
The Banky realizes it.
Yeah. Right. I forgot about that. So there was some of that kind of, again. I thought the acting was good overall, mostly, but there are some, and it's not so much the acting as it is the implausibility of, of certain interactions between people.
I love the gangs. I love the diversity of the gangs. The Baseball Furies were, as a kid, they were my favorite because I was into Kiss, and these guys are wearing makeup, and they're wearing slinging baseball bats out. So my brother and I used to practice that. We'd take a ball bat and slide it out like we were badasses in Amelia, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Known for its rough streets.
Yeah, when I was a kid at the time watching this, I mean, we had a couple kids in the neighborhood that we'd hang out, and I remember us trying to get our own little group together. But we were like a little biker group, you know. We'd get on our little bicycles.
You weren't the gang on the roller skates?
We weren't the roller. No, no.
Because I mean, nothing puts fear in my eyes like a bunch of guys in bib overalls and roller skates. Like, what the hell? I feel like I could just shove you backwards.
But we had leather vests and we put our names on the back. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Your mom's like, what are you doing with that?
What is wrong with you?
But I love the idea of this. So the movie, you know, starts out with Cyrus and he gets shot and the free for all, like that all makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? And then of course, one of our favorite actors in the film, you know, the Warriors did it. Yeah, they did it.
Gary Patricelli. I mean, David Patrick Kelly.
Exactly. But you get the sense of like they're running for their lives, man. It was great. And it just the way it feeds, like they got to fight their way through all the boroughs and get back to Coney Island because that's home base. It's like they're safe if they get to Coney Island. It all takes place in the course of like, what, 7 hours, 8 hours?
Yeah.
And it moves. It's intense. You feel it. You get like each gang comes along like, oh, here we go. This is where they get it, man. And you know, because I mean, clearly, guys that are mimes—that's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah, I wanted to see their fight scene. I
know.
I will say, most of this movie came as a surprise to me because I couldn't remember very much of it. This is one that I know I saw multiple times when I was young, but I just never came back to it. And it wasn't one that just stayed in my. I remembered the Warriors come out and play part. Obviously, I mean, that's the one. You know, seen cemented in your brain from this film, but
Warriors come up to play.
Other than that, I could not really recall any of the details. I could even remember the plot, which is kind of weird.
And that scene, that whole the iconic scene, the tink tink, that was made up on the fly.
Yeah,
they had another line, and I don't recall what it was, but it just wasn't playing well. And they said to the actor, what do you got? You got anything? And he, on the fly, he grabbed the bottles and put them on his fingers. And he said that was when he was a kid, they would taunt people by doing that. You know, like, Gary, come out, play. And he said, I just put the Warriors in there. He goes, that's something I just did on the fly. And it's like the touchstone of that whole film.
Yeah, that's the part I always remembered.
We did it. Me and my brother would do it all the time. Like if we were sitting around, had two bottles, we'd bang them together at the dinner table. And I was like, "Would you do stop?" Look, I love it when this movie was suggested. Man, I was jazzed. I love this movie. The thing I forgot about was the comic book transitions. I truly forgot about that, and I was like, "Oh, now I love that too, man."
Yeah,
I just love the way it plays out, and it's just this is one I could watch once a year and just truly just enjoy. My brother and I would sit and watch this movie all the time, man. And it was as entertaining now as it was when I was 13, you know.
I feel like I know where you're going to go with this, but let's find out if you're a member of the cult, Andy.
You know, I don't want to surprise you, Gary, but I want to do.
I like how it always mutes when you.
I know.
I don't want to surprise.
clearly. I mean, this film is great. I love this film. I love that they, what was it, 2015, they did a reenactment of the Warriors going back to Coney Island. All the actors went and got together and got on a subway and rode it back to Coney. It's just great.
Did they make a film or something on that or something?
They did like a little, kind of like a short, like a documentary about it.
Okay. I remember when I was looking stuff up for the movie that I saw something like that.
Yeah, there is a DVD Blu-ray extended version of this, and I'm gonna look it up and probably go and get it and watch it.
All right, well, let me just go ahead and tell you that this may surprise you, but I'm not a member of the cult. Now,
what?
Here, I'm not, but let me explain why.
You better.
I do like this movie. I thought it was great to see it again. I enjoyed watching it again. There was so much stuff that I had forgotten, and it took me back to being a kid watching it. And I love things like that to give me that nostalgia. There were too many little things about it that seeing it through these eyes bugged me enough to where I was like, look, I will never disparage the movie. I think it's a great movie. I just don't really see me getting that into it again. Maybe I'll watch it again in the future, but it's not one that I feel like I got to queue up all the time, or that if it's on, I got to watch it. It just didn't.
Oh my gosh. To me. I'm a little stunned here, to be honest with you.
I thought you might be.
You've bumped me a little.
Are you
pranking me?
No, that's true. I actually have it written down right here. Not a member, but
see there. Wrong.
But and you can call me wrong, but I like the movie. I really did. I enjoyed watching it again.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, I was kind of like, I just don't know. Like I was good seeing it again. I could probably wait another 20 years to see it again.
Wow. I'd watch this again.
Yeah. It's just
this weekend.
And that's why I don't think it's fair for me to call myself a member of the cult in this.
Yeah. One. So right, you go ahead and mute yourself while I continue talking about the greatness of this film.
I'll be
there. Go. That's much better. So a couple things I forgot to mention on cultural impact of this film, the band, The Outfield, took their name from the Baseball Furies. They were called the Baseball Boys a little bit before they became The Outfield, and that was based on a little nod to the Baseball Furies, these guys right over my shoulder here. And also, John Wick 4 is partially inspired by the movie The Warriors.
Oh, yeah?
So up in ya, Gary. And I have a movie review that I thought was great. Michael W. Phillips Jr. from Goat Dogs Movies, his review, quote, "a cult film that deserves its reputation," end quote. Put that in your pipe and smoke it there, you non-member.
Hey, I could be a non-member. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying this is not one that I feel like the need to go back to and revisit often.
That surprises me.
Yeah. But you know, I liked watching it again. I had a good time watching it, and did something change?
I'm just some things. I don't know,
Andy. You know what, Andy? Take that. Okay, you're muted now. Now it's my turn. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Uh huh. You push the button.
It's Clem Fandango. Can you hear me? This is Clem Fandango.
Press the button. I can't hear you unless you push the button.
Steven, this is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
I dare you to say that one more time. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Yeah, well then keep your finger on the fucking button. I didn't catch a word of that, all right? And I need to hear again exactly how that client wants me to say this script.
Okay, Steven, so this is important. The client has expressed they'd really like to stress certain words within the script.
Okay.
And the words he'd like you to stress are love.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango. Can you tell it's late when we're recording?
I need to get some sleep. Look at my eyes. I have not been crying, and it's not allergies. I haven't gotten a lot of sleep lately.
He's crying because I had joined his cult.
I'll be honest, all joking aside, completely surprised me by that. I thought you would have been a member.
I thought I'd surprise you. And the payoff is great. I have a feeling people are going to tell me how I'm wrong and how they're actually probably everybody is a member of the cult of the Warriors, but let's go ahead and wrap this up.
I mean, Gary, come out and play.
That's right. Let me know. Please like, comment, subscribe, and in the comments, tell me, are you a member of the cult of the Warriors, or are you like me? You can recognize it for the good film that it is, and you can enjoy it, but you just probably don't want to watch it like for a while.
Oh, man.
I'll be good for a while.
I'll probably watch it Sunday again. With bottles stuck to my fingers.
Gary, come out and play.
Can you dig it?
This has been a Touch of Madness production, brought to you by the creative minds at Tommy Twins Media.